I can, and who listens to no difference.
Hi, welcome. I'm Susie D.
Hi, Susie.
Hi, Susie.
I am a compulsive overeater, and let's see, I've been in program 32 years. Consistent, yes. And just a beginner, it's the truth. So what I'm going to do is I'd like to talk about or try to help people and myself how to recognize the enemy. You know, when he's going to work on me, when he wants me to do some, he always gives me permission to eat candy and to eat the no-nos in my life. He's very consistent about that. And my addict, so who is this addict? Who is he? Well, for me, my addict, it's simple. He's evil and he wants to destroy me. It's just as simple as that. That's my addict. And my addict functions very deceitfully. He'll say to me things like, "Susie, you may look like a compulsive overeater, you may act like a compulsive overeater, and you may behave like a compulsive overeater, Susie, but you're not really a compulsive overeater." No way, Susie, you're not like those people. They're very sick. What does my addict look like? Well, my addict, sneaky. He wears my mask. He looks like me. He comes across like me. He talks like me. He walks like me. He eats the stuff that I want to eat. He cries like me. So I think when he's talking that this is me talking to myself. I'm thinking that what I'm hearing is truth. That he's me. So I don't doubt him. I don't doubt him at all. And he always gives me, like I say, the permission to eat the no-nos. The other thing my addict likes to do is play games. He loves to play games. And he constantly wants to challenge me to a game. Like, okay, I'm going to beat him at the game. And make me think I'm strong, and then I fail. But this addict of mine, he lies, he cheats, he steals, and he doesn't play by the rules. Go when you get your big book, look on page 181, that's Dr. Bob, and he'll read what Dr. Bob thinks of playing games with the addict.
What page?
181. 181. He talks about playing games. Let's see. Now, I'm going to share an incident that I had with my husband about just a week ago. And I want to share with you my addict also. It was my great-granddaughter's birthday, so the family was all there. We went to a restaurant. And it's an all-you-can-eat restaurant. And when we first stepped into the building, you know, the restaurant, the aroma, oh my God, it was just everywhere. It's like, oh, that's so good. And when I walked around into the cafeteria, that's where this was, and I surveyed, you know, all the menus there, everything I saw was high calories, lots of sugar, and salt. I thought, oh my God, look at this choices. And then I remembered I didn't bring any food with me. Normally I bring some food and it's in the car and I know that I have something to eat if I'm hungry. But I totally forgot. And I found myself looking at that food and just saying, oh my gosh, I want some. And then I heard, well, go ahead and have some. That's the addict. I said, oh, it looks so good. Yeah, go ahead, Susie. You've been in 32 years. Go on and have some. That's the addict. I said, oh, I better call my sponsor. I heard, call your sponsor. That's my higher power. And then I said, God, help me. God, help me. That's higher power. But I couldn't pull myself away. It looked so good and tempting. And I really am tired of fish and chicken because I'm on a cholesterol food plan. And I really, really want some of this. And then I said to myself, I said, okay, Susie, now take note. What step are you on right now? And I said, the first step. I said, I feel very powerless. I can't get myself to leave. And then I noticed there was some food in amongst all this that I only see when I'm on a cruise. Oh my God, I love it so much. I just said, oh no, I've got to have some of that. And then I'm hearing, well, come on, Susie, let's go have some food together. And I said, oh, no, I can't do that. And I said again, God, help me. And this little addict over here is saying, Susie, you've been in for so long, a little bit isn't going to help you. And look at what age you're at right now. How much longer do you think you're going to be here? And who cares? Who cares if you die with candy in your mouth? Yeah, you'll die with candy in your mouth. You'll have a smile on your face. And I said, oh, I need help. And I said, God, help me. And I turned around, and about 3 or 4 feet from me was my husband. And I could tell by the look on his face he was not happy. And I immediately felt fear. Uh-oh, now what? And he was standing there with the tray in his hand. And he said, Susie, what are you doing? We're here. Some of us have started eating. What's taking you so long, Susie? Very aggravated. And he said, now go get some food and come. Come on. And my first thought then was, oh, I'm going to go ahead. I don't want to rock the boat. I'm just going to go ahead and have some. And then I thought, what did I think? I'm having a senior moment. Okay, here it is, my husband. I said to my husband, it was eye-to-eye contact, and I said to him, I'm going outside. And he knew that meant I'm going to call my sponsor. And I walked right past him. Where all that came from, I don't know. And I walked outside. And as I'm walking outside, my addict is right there at my side. And he's saying, oh, Sue, come on now. Let's go have something to eat. This is stupid. This is dumb to talk to your age and going to a phone call. And making a call. This is stupid, Sue. So I walked faster, got to my phone, and my sponsor picked up, and I was so relieved. And I said, this is what's happened, and I explained to her about the food situation. But then after a while, while she was talking, another message was coming through to me, and the other message said, tell your sponsor about your son. And inside I just yelled out and I said, no, I am not going there. I'm not doing that. And it just said it again, tell your sponsor about your son. I don't want to go there. I'm feeling uncomfortable already and I'm hurting. I'm not going to do that. But it just continued on like it was something broke it, you know, and it just kept the tape kept going. Tell your sponsor about your son. And the next thing I knew, my mouth just flew open. And out came these words. And they were running and they were rushing like a train. Each car had a word. And they were coming out to the sunlight. And then I said, can I tell you about my son? And she said, yes. And I said, I'm angry with him, and I know he's going to be here. This is his granddaughter's birthday. And each time, you know, the train's moving, one's leaving, one right after another. I finally said, I'm afraid to see him. When that sentence was the last sentence, it came out of me. It just came, and when it did, life came back to me. It's so hard to explain, this higher power business, but I felt a freedom. I felt I was lifted up. I felt good. And afterwards, talking to my sponsor, we went back to the cafeteria, and the food was the same, the aroma was the same, but I was different. I had to get that out of me, and I didn't even realize it. I was different. And I walked back into the room, and just as carefree as all, nothing bothered me. And I took some salmon, and I scraped it off the stuff that's on it, and I took some vegetables that looked as innocent as I could get. And I went into the room where everybody was eating. I was able to join in. I was able to participate. I was able to laugh and have fun. And my son had picked up his chair and he moved it next to his father. It was a little distance from me. And I was so happy for my husband, because I know how close he is to this kid that I want to sometimes. And it's a beautiful program. You know, it's not about me. It's about trusting the program. And the program says, call my sponsor. You know, and let's see. Okay, so the nice thing that happened to me was that the addict was gone. I didn't have that addict's voice pestering me. He was totally gone. And I was totally free and went to bed abstinent. It felt so good to avoid the clutches of that addict and be able to recognize, you know, what he says, because he's very sneaky, and sometimes he can really fool me. That's why I need a sponsor. That's why I need each other. That's why my brain isn't always where it should be. We'll just forget that. Oh, shoot, I'm sorry. I'm just a little nervous. So, I have another story for you, but it's very short, I promise. This happened just a couple of days ago, and I really, really think it's a wonderful story. It's about a young man, around 24, I would say. And we were in a meeting, another meeting. And the topic of the meeting was anger. So when it came to his turn to talk, he said, in a loud voice, he said, I am mad. And he said, I hate my mother. You could have heard a pin drop, just a pin drop. And he said, I was real uptight a couple of the other day, and I was anxious, and I was just couldn't settle down, and I decided to call my mother. Go figure. I don't know that. I mean, is this the addict? I don't know. And he said, I told my mother what was happening, and my mother said, quoted a passage from the Bible. And it's blah, 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 blah. I don't remember the passage. And he said, I just got angry. I blew up inside until it reached my mouth. And I used all kinds of bad language with my mother, which was inappropriate. But he said, I just was so angry that I said, you're always talking the Bible. God this, God that. And he said, I got so mad, I took the phone and I slammed it down. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty much like the addict to me. Got into him, especially with the anger and slamming it down. That's a pretty good clue of the attic. This is what's interesting, because this is all what he did. The next thing I did was I said, I want to see the Bible. Whoa, excuse me. Now, wait a minute. You don't like your mother, etc. Who is this saying, go see, you know, see your Bible, look at your Bible? And I don't think that was the addict. I don't think that was the addict at all. Something happened there. Only thing I can think of is that he reached out. He may not have made the phone call we all would have wished for him to make, maybe a sponsor or somebody in program. But even though I give my 1%, that's heard and that's recognized. It reminds me of the story of this priest. He was giving a talk, and there was a woman sitting like maybe the second row, and they're facing the priest, and the priest would talk and say something, and then he would look, and he'd say, Mary, isn't that so? And Mary would smile and say, yes. And then he'd talk some more, and he would again come back, Mary, don't you agree? Do you agree, Mary? And then finally he mentioned one more thing and said, now, Mary, isn't that so? And the woman said, my name is not Mary. And the priest said, well, why did you answer me? And Mary said, because you were looking at me. And that's the same message with this young man, even though he was the simple act of looking at my higher power is noticed and recognized. He said, I knew there was a Bible in the house. I haven't seen it for years. For years I haven't seen this Bible, but I knew there was a Bible in the house. And I started looking. And he kept repeating it. I know there's a Bible here. And he began searching, really, really striving to find this Bible. And then he said, oh, I found it. Here it is. Now he takes the Bible. This is true. He just opened it at random, like this. And he said, like a laser beam, or like an arrow to the target, all my eyes saw was one spot on that page. Only, nothing else. That's all I could see. And when I read it, it turned out to be the same passage that my mother had just read to me. And he said, and all he said was, yes, there is a God. And that was the end of his story. But the addict is there, no question about it. But God, you see, in my mind, my interpretation, removed the addict. God got that 1% effort asking for help, and God took care. He removes the addict. I have to do my part because I become a partner in step 3 with God. So we're partners, and I need to do my part first. And then that addict, when God is old and slow, but boy, when he decides to move, it's thunder and lightning. It's now. So my card stopped there. I'm going to have to wing it. So I just think that was about all I was going to say. It's a beautiful program, and that's what it's all about, the program and trusting it and spotting that addict's voice and kicking them out of there. I don't know what else to say. With that, I'll pass. Thank you. Thank you. So I guess we're now open for sharing. I don't know what else to do here. Yeah. It would be nice if anybody, if they're comfortable and they want to, could share some stories or occasions that they've had with their addict and what they did about it would be a nice topic. But share about anything. And with that, I'll pass.
I apologize. I missed the very beginning. What is your name, please?
Okay. I know I didn't get a name. Susie D. There's so many Susies, yeah. Sue or Susie, but not Susan.
Okay. Thank you. Aww. I thought it was Mary.
You thought my name was Mary? That's good. Oh, that's cute.
My name's Melanie. I'm a food addict.
Hi, Melanie.
I heard lots of good things, but for your request, I'll talk about my food addict. I've named it Ed, eating disorder, and I have a very clear picture of him in my mind. There's a couple other people running around up there, too, that I've named. But Ed's the worst, and he's kind of like a Spring Hill Jack sort of character. Always ready to get up to some mischief and frolic around in my brain. And mostly I sit him in a corner and watch him. Because if I don't watch him, then he's likely to get up to something. So I have quite a few characters up there, but... It was an amazing moment in program when I finally was able to separate the voices of the addicts in my brain from the me in my brain. And it's kind of amazing that you can watch yourself, have conversations with yourself, and going from just a cacophony of messages that I could not separate to the clarity of having done the steps and worked through all that and continuing to work through that. It's miraculous. And Ed is quiet in his corner today, and for that I'm grateful.
Thanks, Melanie.
Thanks, Melanie. Thanks, Melanie.
I'm Lisa, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Lisa.
This subject fascinates me. I see a lot of addicts in my work, non-food addicts primarily. And what I hear the most, which resonates with me to some extent, is the lack of responsibility and the blame. And so for me, hey Kevins, I've had a recovery program for a long time. That really clicks for me, like at what point do we get honest with ourselves and grow up, you know. And growing up for me means facing pain. The avoidance of which is desirable but detrimental. So my addict, I know that my addict is kicking in when I have an immediate response to something, which is like, I want to kick your ass, or I want to tell you where to go. And I grew up in Detroit. In really rough schools, so I have the lingo down. I know I maybe look like a little middle class white lady, but I can tell you where to go and how to get there and shock the pants off of you. And I've done that. It's pretty effective. And there were times when that I really got off on that, you know, because but that's my addict. My addict kicked in recently when I had to call the police in another state to do a safety check on a real dear cousin of mine who was an addict, and they found her dead in her apartment. And my addict wanted to go straight to my substance of choice, which is food, primarily carbohydrates. And I did a little bit, but that doesn't deaden the pain because I can't do it 24/7. I do have to work and I have a life. Thank heavens. I can't imagine being in that 24/7 like some addicts are. So my addict tells me to minimize, to rationalize, to deny. And when that kicks in, I personally do not have the strength to dispel it. I have to go to something bigger than me. And that can be another person, but typically it is my higher power. And that can be a lot of things. I have a primary higher power, but sometimes higher power is nature, going for a walk, or not reacting. You know, that all of our literature react, you know, action rather than reaction. Reaction is my addict. And she's a badass. and the other side of that is I kind of like her. She's adventurous. I think she's kind of cool. But she hurts me. That's the bottom line. She causes me more pain than pleasure. So that's how I define it. Thanks.
Thanks.
I've been around these tables for about 24 years now. And Susie, you said a lot of good stuff. Recognizing the addict is always difficult for me because it sounds so much like me. And this year has been full of all kinds of challenges for me, and it's been hard to separate the what my body needs from what the addict tells me it wants. And one thing that you've told me in the past that's always helped me a lot is that when things are very hectic and I have the least amount of control is when God can get in there and work. And that's always been a big comfort for me. And I have some, one of the challenges going on in my life right now is my 39-year-old daughter had a little boy in October. And she found out at 19 weeks pregnant that he was going to have a heart defect. And it might not be operable. He got a heart transplant in the week before Christmas. And the heart's working great, but the veins leading to the heart aren't working so good, and those can't be replaced. And this little guy's almost 6 months old now, and he's only been out of the hospital 7 days, maybe. And right now, he can't breathe on his own. He's on a ventilator. And he has a tube in his chest drawing fluid out, and he has all kinds of wires hooked up. And I have been given the privilege of going down and spending the night with him tonight and keeping him company so my daughter can have a break. And it's just really humbling. You know, when I think about the food and all the other stuff that's going on in my life, all I have to do is think about Connor. And it just puts everything in perspective. And I was going to blow off this convention this weekend because I'm forgetting how important it is to take care of myself. And I remembered that if I don't take care of myself, I can't take care of anybody else. Right. I can't help anybody else. So I'm just really grateful to be here, even though it's only going to be for a couple hours. And I ask you all to pray for my grandson, Connor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
What is your name?
Denise.
My name is Kara. I'm a compulsive
overeater.
Hi, Kara.
Hi, Kara.
I'm from Springfield, Illinois. And the thing I was thinking about is that whenever my addict is most likely to take control or attempt to take control is when I'm not paying attention, when I am not mindful of my life, when I'm trying to distract myself too much. And, you know, when we come into program and we begin to use the steps in our higher power for benefit in our lives, it doesn't mean everything goes well in our lives. That would be nice if we could get a guarantee like that. But real life is always there. And my desire to escape from real life is where I get into trouble a lot. And when that happens, then I have a hard time focusing on recovery. And for me, there is no grace period, staying even. Unfortunately, I'm just one of those people. I just have to either be actively working a program or I'm lost. Thanks.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.
I'm Mary. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Mary.
My addict has a really soft, sweet, comforting voice. And my addict says, you know, when you're in pain, when you're facing pain, a little food will make it a little better. Will make it a little better. I can work with your higher power. You know, your higher power can help you, but I can help you too. And I'll soften the blow for you. And that's really the voice that I hear. Our family just had a situation where my son-in-law has stage 4 cancer. And so they went on a trip with their girls, for a nice family vacation. And they were there a day, and got a text from my daughter, Zach fell. He's in an ambulance. The girls and I are following in a taxi. And my addict said, I can help you with this. I can help you with this. A little more food, a little something in your mouth and in your belly will make this a little bit better. And that's my addict voice. That's my addict helps me with pain. But on the flip side of that, we were able to arrange for a medical evacuation plane to go pick him up and bring the family home. And there was an app where you could follow the plane. And this plane came out of Arizona. And I cannot tell you the comfort that it took so long, it felt like, to get this arranged and to get all the, everything where they could actually leave to come get him. But when that plane took off, and to watch that plane, and watch the progress of that plane, and know that he was going to be taken care of, and they were going to be taken care of, and that's really just like my higher power. Mm-hmm. You know, my higher power is that plane for me. Mm-hmm. You know, he's there and he's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of me, but I got to cooperate with him. But he's there. And he's a much better source than that that little voice that says, food will make it better. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I am Jody, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jody.
My addict can shut my brain down completely. And then I find myself with a bag of popcorn in my hand, sitting on the couch, and half of it's gone. You know, it's smart pop, but it's half the bag at a time. And that is, I'm hoping that other people have this experience. And, you know, maybe you can help me understand that. But that, when we used to argue, I had a chance, you know, but when it shuts it down, I feel like, you know, like I don't have a chance to combat that. I just find myself, you know, in the midst of something that I said I wasn't going to do. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks. Thanks.
My name's Marisha. I'm not truly related to the other
I said I was going to go home immediately after the speaker, and no, I had to go to the Ways and Means room. And that was not appropriate behavior. I needed to go home. I've been diagnosed with pancreatitis, and I'm needing to take care of myself. And of course, having pancreatitis also means very limited diet, food plan. And it's like, okay. And this morning I was talking with my sponsor in another program, and she's like, what is it about staying at home and taking care of yourself that you can't do? And having to realize that last night, even going into that Ways and Means room, I was being an addict. I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. I should have gone home. And I know because of that, I wasn't acting properly to the other people in the room. And that is not a good thing. And I remember doing that years and years ago. And it's like, oh Lord, this is an addictive behavior that just does not want to go away. And now what can I have to eat that's going to take care of it? And the reality is, yeah, you can eat and then you can have your belly starting to hurt you 10 times more than what you needed to be doing right at this moment. Mm-hmm. And so in one respect, I kind of like my anorexic addict. Even though I have not done anorexia in years, I at least have the thought that, okay, if I have to just not eat that much because it doesn't work well, that'll be okay for now. I need to let my pancreas heal. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Jane on Pulse Dieter.
Hi, Jane.
It's been important for me to admit that not only do I have an addict within, I am that addict. For years, what I really wanted was I wanted to, you know, eat uncontrollably but have no consequences due to it. That was the pretend fantasy thing that I had. But then I started to pray that God would work a miracle and I wouldn't be a compulsive eater. And I didn't get that miracle. I am a compulsive eater and I am an addict. And so the real miracle that I've had in my life is that I am an addict, but I don't have to eat compulsively. And that's like a bigger miracle, I think, than a person who's not an addict, not acting like an addict. So I got a miracle in my life, but it wasn't the one that I asked for or the one that I thought I wanted. And part of it is just admitting to myself, I am an addict, and I tell myself that every morning at the beginning of the day. As a call for help, because I won't get through this day by myself. I'm going to need help today because I am the addict within.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Ellen, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Ellen.
Thank you, Susie, for speaking today. I'm trying to think, I don't remember, I heard it in a meeting not too long ago, is that basically the addict is doing push-ups in the corner. So, and I kind of related it to last night when they had that committee up there, you know, the entertainment part of it, because it's, you know, you, and I think some people have also said, you know, you don't want to go alone with your committee in your head. So, but, because, you know, my addict can be negative and also, and I haven't quite figured out if, you know, food is one of my addictions and TV was also an addiction. You know, and I've always told people, you know, I've watched enough TV that I don't need to watch it anymore, or at least maybe for a couple of lifetimes. And gratefully, you know, I stopped having cable and I don't have a TV that works. So it's not actually on at home, but if I go to other places, it is on. And I could, you know, when I was, work vacation. You know, it's just like it had all these channels and everything, and I just wanted to, this is on, let's stay up really late and that type of stuff. So I don't know where I'm going with this, but yeah, the addict, and it can keep me in my head. And, you know, I think I'm also one where it's like I didn't really feel like coming, but I'm glad that I did. You know, I see a lot of faces that I haven't seen in a while, and there's actually a lot of people that I've never seen before. So I'm grateful that everybody's here, and with that, I'll pass. And if you wanna speak, I can kind of moving around and holding the, because we're taping this. So just if you want to speak, I'll just come and give you the recorder.
Thanks, Ellen.
And I heard someone in another fellowship say on a podcast that I was listening to that was about an unrelated topic, but in the discussion he touched on his addiction and recovery, and he said something that really describes the addict within me. Is he said that that he'd never had a feeling that he didn't want to alter. And yeah, the addict in me is the person that says, oh, I'm feeling, I need to change that. You know, my feelings are something that I've gotten a lot of criticism and critique for over the years, and because mine, I seem to have come with them pre-installed at starting at 15 when everybody else's goes from 1 to 10. and so when I'm experiencing them and feeling the fear that, oh gosh, I'm having a feeling and it's going to annoy someone else, then that's when I hear that addict say, and how can I alter this feeling? What will do it? And in recovery, I'm learning to honor the fact that I don't need to change them. I change how I respond to them? Yes, absolutely. But alter them? By using something? No. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back, it works, and you're worth it, and you're worth it.
So worth it.